When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up and welcome back to the Kinda Funny Screencast. Of course, I am Tim Geddes. I am joined by Joey Noel.
It's me.
And today we are talking about the season premiere of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills season 13.
Oh my gosh, we are. I am here for it. Dorit looks like a new person every season. It's
crazy.
Whole
new person, baby. Kyle Richards out there doing crazy things. I'm just kidding. We're not doing that. We are talking about season 2, episode 4 of Loki. I have been doing weekly breakdowns of each episode with a different guest every single time. Very excited to have Joey here. Of course, you could watch every episode that we have done previously on youtube.com/kindoffunny, or if you'd rather listen to it as a podcast, search your favorite podcast service for Kinda Funny Screencast and we'll be right there for you. Do not fret if you want to hear the thoughts of Andy and Nick and Greg. You will. MCU in review will return in just a few short weeks. We're closing out Saw next week with Spiral.
I'm so
but
sad.
After that, I know it's really sad.
It's been so fun.
It's been so fun. But once that ends, we're going to return to the MCU in review with, I think, a three-peat back to back.
Whoa.
We got Loki season 2. We got Captain Marvel rewatch leading into The Marvels.
The Marvels.
So something about that might be wrong, but we're going to be doing all of those.
Yeah.
So stay tuned and get excited. But yeah, enough about all that stuff. You can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny to get the show ad free, to get a whole bunch of bonus content, and to be a Patreon producer like James Hastings, Jedi Master Deadpool, Casey Andrew, and Nathan LaMothe have done. With all that out of the way, I want to talk about Loki season 2 with you, Joey. You haven't been on the show, obviously, so far for this.
Not yet.
You haven't watched Loki season 2 until last night. You watched 4 episodes back to back.
I do have to admit to you that I watched 3 episodes back to back, and then while you guys did Games Daily, maybe I watched episode 4.
There we go. Okay. So I want to start with you. What are you thinking about this season so far?
So Loki, even season 1, was like not one of my like top favorites of, I know, which is, I know that it's an unpopular opinion, but I tend to gravitate towards the more like Captain America-y, spy kind of government-y, the more grounded side of the MCU. So Loki, a far departure from that. It's very nebulous and all that stuff.
Timey-wimey.
Exactly. So just hard for me to like wrap my mind around a lot of the time because it's just a lot of stuff. Not to mention that I feel like all of that stuff ties in with the comics that I really don't know anything about. So then it's like, oh man, this, I got a lot of catching up to do on that side of stuff. So I was a little bit I wasn't like super, super excited for season 2. I think that plays into just my general feeling about the MCU these days. I didn't even watch the series before this.
Secret Invasion.
Yeah. Whose name I can't even remember off the top of my head. I skipped that one entirely. So I felt like I had just kind of been like in a lull when it comes to MCU content these days, but I did watch, I watched like half of episode 1 when it dropped, and then I think I got too tired and went to bed. Happy to jump back in. Tom Hiddleston is just really killer. It's so fun to watch him. It's so fun to watch him with Owen Wilson. They're such a good tag team. I think the additions this season of Kihei Kwan, he's so just incredible. I'm so happy that he has had a resurgence after Everything Everywhere All at Once. Like, it's such a joy to have him attached to all of these projects. In addition to my other favorite, Rafael Casal.
Oh, yeah.
Just absolutely crushing it.
And in so much more than I expected him to be.
When we saw the trailers, we had talked about it because obviously we love him from Blindspotting and Are You Afraid of the Dark and so many other things. And of course, just as a proponent of pushing Bay Area stories, we got to love him for that too. But yeah, in the trailer, we're like, ooh, he's going to be in the MCU. This will be so fun, whatever. Did not expect to see him have like such a prominent role. I thought he was going to be like Kind of like, what's the side guy that had like the drawer of the gems in the first one that's like kind of in this now? He was way in this way
Casey.
More. This, yeah, Casey. Thought he was going to be like Casey season one where he just like kind of popped up randomly. But man, especially in this episode, mm-hmm. he's doing some stuff. And then obviously last episode too, where you get to see him like as an actor in the 70s. I like the way that they're playing with the timeline stuff, that we go back to the World's Fair, get to see all these different iterations of people. It's a lot to keep track of. I'm not going to lie. I feel like I need a flow chart of some sort of cheat sheet to help me keep track of everything, especially with all of the pruning and then Loki pruning other Loki, which Loki was the right one. I got really nervous for a second. And that was only the beginning of the drama with the pruning in this episode. It's a lot.
It is.
I feel like I'm going to need you to explain some things to me.
I mean, honestly, I'm going to try my best, yes. But I'm right there with you in that in a lot of ways I am lost, but that does feel purposeful. And also, I don't think that there's anything. I mean, actually, there was a line at some point that I really, really loved, which was, hold on, give me 1 second.
Yeah.
Boom, boom, boom.
There were so many things that happened in this that's hard to keep track.
There's a line where they literally say, I promise you this will make sense.
Oh, yeah. It's when he prunes other Loki.
Yeah. I promise you this will make sense. That was such a literally direct thing to the audience of like, we got the plan and we're gonna land the plane, which I'm excited about. And I have faith in Loki season one. I've said this to all of my guests so far. Mm-hmm. Is my favorite of the MCU shows so far. That and WandaVision, any day you talk to me, I could say one or the other.
Yeah.
But I think overall as a package, like beginning to end, specifically the end, I really love Loki season one. Going into season two, I love that we're continuing the vibe and the characters and the dynamics. We're getting even more of this cast of characters, and I think that it's really kind of defining its place in the MCU as Loki, the series, being its own thing, not just like a spinoff title they put on Disney Plus. It's like, no, this actually matters and has become, and is continuing to, especially after this episode, one of my favorite MCU projects, period. Even up there with some of my favorite movies. Like I think Loki I'd put in my top 10.
Yeah.
Like pretty high even.
It breaks the Disney Plus echelon the greater MCU stratosphere.
It really, really does. And I really feel like this is the show that has kind of defined the multiverse the most. And I feel it's the show that we get the most upset when other properties and other movies or shows don't follow these rules, because this was kind of our first introduction to the rules besides the Ancient One and Endgame kind of just like setting up the whole time heist and that and things like that. So I loved this episode. I love that it being episode 4, so we have 2 left. We're now 2/3 through the season, which God, it's like,
I love that they made it 6 episodes. I like that we're not dragging it out to like kind of the episode standard of 8. That they're like, we have a specific story to tell and it's going to get told in 6.
So yes and no.
Ooh,
because
tell
I'm
me.
So with you on that in the sense of like, don't waste our time. We don't need these 13 episode seasons for things. But Disney Plus has kind of shown that their 6 episode series don't stick the landings. Like,
which are the 6?
All of them.
Are they all?
Except for WandaVision was 9, but the earlier ones were shorter. So it's like, you can almost argue that like it was 6 worth of content.
Oh, okay.
But then, like the Moon Knight, Miss Marvel, Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Man, they were all 6?
6 episodes.
Man, my brain.
Hawkeye. So
I really liked Hawkeye.
Yeah. I really like him, but I feel like it gets to a point where it's like, how are they going to wrap all this up in just one?
Every episode, every season, we ask this
and
of everything.
A lot of time they don't nail it. I do like that we're 2 episodes ahead asking that question. Like, I think we're in a better spot.
Yeah.
But it does concern me a little bit where I'm like, there's a lot for them to get to or not. But I have faith in them because I think that they have shown that this show can be so many things at once, everything everywhere, all at once, where it can be, this is affecting the universe. This is affecting the multiverse. This is also affecting these individuals. And I think that they've done a good job of, as confusing as it all is, and no matter how many crazy science time words and like the multipliciter and the blah blah blah, like they know it's stupid that like literally like the time loom, like the shape of all the gadgets they have, like it's all so over the top and dumb and just jargony, but like they lean in so hard and I feel like they do such a good job of backing it up with like really well attuned to production design that like, I mean, obviously the show's beautiful, like
The stylization of it all is really, really impressive, kind of between the sets and the color grading and everything. It's
they know what they're doing, and I've talked about the score so many times, but like it just continues to wow the hell out of me, man. It is
who's doing the score?
Natalie Holt, who is just incredible, man.
Okay.
She's so damn good. And like this, the scores and themes she made for this series, as well as adapting the other themes from the past.
Has she done anything else?
Loki.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
just one. Okay, got it.
Yeah, like that's kind of her jam so far. In incredible stuff and so versatile. Like the themes can just go big, go small,
yeah,
be sad, be exciting. Like they're just so damn fun. And all of that combined with, like, I think this episode having Obi make the little diorama.
Oh yeah.
And the way that, like, that stuff to me, I'm like, if they're gonna have the jargony time bullshit, back it up with things like that,
yeah,
to ground it all and show how silly it all is, mm-hmm, but then also be able to explain to us, this is what's happening.
Yeah.
You know, in a fun way that feels like it fits the characters. And God, there's so much to talk about with this episode. This episode to me really was when the themes of the first four have started to like come together to mean more. And the concept of there's Kang. They haven't said Kang.
It is interesting that they've never said his name.
Well, because his name is He Who Remains.
Yeah.
This version, and the other one's Victor Timely. Kang, so far in the MCU, is only
just Ant-Man.
The Ant-Man Kang, the Conqueror.
Yeah.
So there's been hints and little things, like in The Void in season one, there was the Q-E-N-G, which is like a businessman.
Yeah.
Thing. Like, so they're teasing, they're hinting, whatever. But to have Ravonna and have her whole story, like,
she's also crushing it.
Oh, just
she's so fun to watch.
Having her and the fact that she was the commander that won the multiversal war. Is there anything cooler than that?
No. And that they built all this together and she just didn't know.
And he played her. And the idea that He Who Remains, when we saw him in the last season, he's kind of presented as a good guy. And he's presented as this, like, he's the one that made it and that was different than the others. He's protecting the timelines from all these bad ones, but it's like, well, how'd you get there? And we now see what he had to do to get there. You add Miss Minutes to it.
She's been the most surprising thing in this entire season. Of even, it must have been episode 3 or whatever, where she is glitching and like starts to turn. I think maybe it's when they meet Victor Timely for the first time and she like confesses her love for him or whatever, or like whatever adoration. I don't know exactly the right thing. And you're just like, oh dang, you are like turning and a way that I was not expecting.
Oh my God, her line in this one where she's about to shut down and she's just like, you'll never be him. Oh my God.
It's Tara Strong. Just killing it. And
it
then
was
even
great.
The glitchiness of when she's dying or whatever and like she comes back as like the very like analog version of herself. It's just like,
Dude, it was so brutal. So good. But so what I really appreciate about this episode, and I haven't seen enough people talking about yet because there's so much like to talk about in this episode, but is you look at Ravonna, you look at Loki, Sylvie, Mobius, Miss Minutes, and Victor Timely, pretty much literally all of the main characters, including B-15 and X-5, who is Rafa's character.
Is B-15 the like other woman general person that was in the
that was like
thing?
The bad guy in the first one, but is like the good guy in this one? I love how much
her.
Because
there's that other woman that's like older.
Docs.
Thank you.
Yeah, who seems to be the mother of Rafa.
I don't.
Because she calls him Bradley in the first episode. We see them kind of have this like moment
but
together.
With all the amount that they're playing with, everybody's memories getting wiped. Like, who knows?
Yeah, yeah. So that's where I want to talk about real quick is the. I love that all of those characters are all dealing with identity issues. Mm-hmm. They're dealing with Miss Minutes being this AI that can just be rebooted at any point or is literally made by somebody else. So like, what is her place in the world, mm-hmm, in the universe, in the multiverse? Then we have Loki who has, did it all, thought he did everything right. Sylvie on the other side, fighting for a freedom to make her own choices, but now dealing with the ramifications of that. We have Rafa's character who is just wanting to be an actor, just wanting to like not have to deal with this stuff and what he's willing to do to maintain that. Ravonna too, now like understanding like she thought she was kind of in control of all this shit. Mm-hmm. Learned she was actually in control of way more than she even thought and had her memory erased. it's just some heavy stuff, and it reminds me a lot of Severance. Did you end up watching Severance?
I watched like the first two episodes, and then I never went back.
Oh my god, it's so fucking good. It's yeah. so
Which
good.
Which also has the same very like stylized color yes. grading.
Yeah.
Too.
Oh man. The highest compliment I can give is that this is reminding me of Severance, and I think that it is pulling it off in a comic book action-y way that I appreciate as well. I just love the depth to it all. Like, they deal with such heavy shit in this show of all these characters going through that stuff, but then on top of that, billions of deaths just happening. Like, we're seeing these timelines just get destroyed, and yeah. that means billions of deaths, and they're looking at that, and you can see them feeling the weight of that. But the setup of the cube in a couple episodes ago.
Yeah.
To then kill all of these people.
Wild. And it's interesting that that's something that we've just never seen. The season two is interesting of like the new things that pop up that I just wasn't expecting. Like, we get all of these new characters that seem like they have this like big presence, but we didn't see them in season one. So like the older, like maybe mom of
the war room.
Yeah. And this cube is just like, oh, you have like these tools of mass destruction that you are just like sitting on. And it's just like, we thought that the pruning like baton yeah. was kind of like the big one, but like, oh no. And like even seeing Rafa's reaction to like it compressing, I assume, because we didn't see any of that.
Yeah.
Just seemed very painful and like torturous. It didn't seem like a painless kind of death scenario.
Yeah. For sure.
And the quickness to turn it on their own people.
I know. Oh, my God. It was a brutal scene. Like, yeah. Really hard. And especially having B-15, I think her name is, come in after and see it all. Like, yeah. The face acting in this shit is just, it's so good. And I definitely want to keep talking about this more.
Yes.
But before we do that, I wanted to give y'all a quick word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Do you ever feel like your brain is getting in its own way? I can't even count the amount of nights I lose sleep just because I can't stop thinking and my brain just won't stop talking. It turns out one great way to make those racing thoughts go away is to talk through them. Therapy gives you a great place to do that so you can get out of your negative thought cycles and find some mental and emotional peace. And it can give you the tools to find more balance in your life so you can keep supporting others without leaving yourself behind. Some of my best friends use BetterHelp and love how helpful it can be for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself, and it isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapist anytime for no additional charge. You can make your brain your friend with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/kindoffunny today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/kindoffunny. BetterHelp.com/kindoffunny. So now that we're back. Wow. The end of this episode. The beginning of this episode, actually. Let's start there.
Okay.
Marvel Studios logo going into the timeline, like flying through it, hearing the voices and stuff. We saw something similar at the beginning of the finale of last season, I think. But this time, but that was more like going through a bunch of different timelines
yeah.
and like ending here. But I loved the visuals of this, and then it going through, and then we get to this end of time where he remains. Now, Ravonna is yeah. stuck with Miss Minutes. Such a complicated relationship there. I loved the opening of this episode.
Yeah, it was really cool. It's interesting to see all of these versions of Jonathan Majors. Say what you will about his stuff outside of the MCU, but like he really has like the power to take all these different versions of King or he who remains, whatever we want to call him, and make them feel so different, which I think is so hard for a character that's just supposed to be kind of all these different facets and stuff like that. What else was I going to say? Sorry to like skip a little bit. Do we think that he's out? Do we think that he's coming back? Do we think this is a play to get Jonathan Majors out of the MCU?
No.
You don't think so?
No, okay. I don't think that that's it.
There's a lot of things happening all yeah. the time, so it's figuring out like what the play is.
Yeah, I think that there's, in real life, there is a lot of shit going on yeah. that will probably affect the future. I do not think this show, with where we're at, is decisions are being changed or made based around that stuff. It is very interesting where this show is set up so many rules and it's set up where time works, where time doesn't. And then this season or end of last season has broke all of that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, even in the beginning of this episode, seeing like time exist in the end of time, it's like, that's interesting. Seeing Victor Timely die, did not expect that.
Not at all. And in like, oh, Also, wait, I wasn't expecting to turn into like this weird,
the spaghetti shit, yeah. Which, like, you know, we've seen a similar thing with Mr. Fantastic from Wanda. I don't think it's related there. Like, I do think they just set up here. I mean, in episode one, I want to say, where Mobius like went out and like,
oh yeah,
and we saw like, oh, this could be scary.
Yeah.
So it made sense that there's so many reasons why the radiation would be more and all of that. So I feel like they set it up well. I love that they gave him this hero moment. The music was swelling and he jumps out and just immediately dead. And to see all the people and they'd be like, oh shit. That was our chance. Like that was the answer. That's not going to work. And then immediately for the loom to explode, the timeline to like a volcanic eruption, the light taking all of them over, and they let it sit and then it just cut to black for a bit. And I was like, oh my God.
That was one of those things where like I was watching on my laptop and I like jiggled my mouse like, did my computer free? Like it got me. I was like, what? Like, is this the end? What happened? Because they stuck on it the perfect amount of time where it's like, oh dang.
It was wild, man. I did not expect to get a Infinity War snap type moment in Loki, and they did it in episode 4. I'm thrilled. Like, now it's up to them to like make it all make sense and stuff, and we're dealing with time. So is Victor Timely actually dead, or can they go back in time and get him back, or can they do some like crazy stuff?
Yeah.
The people that died in the cube, like smushing them, obviously they were set up as like hero characters, and they set up as doing the right thing, making the right call. I don't see them just dying. Like I see them that also happened before the thing exploded. So like maybe they're something is pulled where like they're able to like come back somehow and like be the army that fights. Like, I don't know. I'm excited that I don't know what's going on and that there's a lot of things they can do that make sense given the rules that they've built. So
yeah. I did some reading today. Mm-hmm. Did some reading on the comic side of things because I like to fill in some of my gaps sometimes. Ravonna at some point takes over Kang in the comics, or like has like takes up the mantle of Kang.
They are romantically linked, and you know,
That's fun.
Yes, and then with that kind of comes, which they kind of for the first time really explicitly said in this episode. Like, we now see that recording that she was watching that Miss Minutes made her watch, matched the recording that we heard Loki listening to a couple episodes ago.
Oh.
Where with the whole like Ravonna, like for all time, always. Like that.
And not realizing that was like their thing together.
Exactly. So like that's interesting. So there's a lot of I've had a theory the last couple weeks that's now debunked.
Yeah.
That Ravonna was gonna end up being a Kang variant.
Oh.
That is not in the comics, but remains isn't
OB
Kang
isn't
in
the comics either, right?
So it's like, and not that I know of, at least.
Yeah, so it's like, that's the fun thing about the show is you can like kind of play and add and change things up depending on.
So yeah, I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do here, but I mean, obviously Ravonna's set up right now as a big bad of this show, at least, which is cool. We'll see. I don't know. I mean, they're playing with so much, like Loki pruning himself. Like, is the Void going to come into play? Like, what happened at the end of this episode? Did they all die? Is that just the end of it? Is everything wiped out? Or was that them getting pruned? And if they're getting pruned, are they being sent to the Void? Or, like, are we going to see some of the Loki variants that we saw in season one? Yeah, like, the alligator, things like that?
Loki.
I don't know.
Personal favorite.
Yeah, you know, like, I feel like we'll find out next week.
Yeah, there's so many things. Do you think that... Obviously, we know we're getting more episodes. These characters are coming back in some form. Do you think that this season we'll see Mobius go back to, like, there's been multiple times this season where they've talked about, like, you don't even know
who you
what
are.
What they took you from or whatever. Do we think we see his, like, more of his origin this season?
I do. My theory is, and I'm pretty much striking out of my theories this season, but my theory is...
It's a tough one.
Yeah. That that Mobius will be on a jet ski. He'll get his jet ski. Oh. And my crazy theory that works but also doesn't is that Mobius in real life is Owen Wilson.
That's incredible.
And it would be incredible. I'm starting to think that's not going to be the case. My reasoning
that
for...
That doesn't really seem like the tone of the show.
It doesn't. But
he was. Yeah.
There was multiple lines in episodes 1 and 2 that implied that Mobius is a good actor. Like, they kept saying he's a good actor, And it felt weird to me that they were calling him an actor.
Yeah.
So, and they were saying that as they were talking about him, like, who is he really type stuff.
Which I guess could play into the Rafa being an actor stuff.
Yeah, but
so
that's
not
the thing.
Totally.
The fact that he is an actor, that Rafa's an actor, makes me think they're not going to do this again. But maybe they've just been building, like, look, like, to explain to people, like, in their lives, they can be actors. It's like, cool. In his life, he's Owen Wilson. Again, I'm starting to believe myself less and less, but it could be fun.
Yeah.
I do think Ajetsky will be involved, though.
I feel like they set that up so much in season one that it would, there has to be some sort of, like, Easter eggy thing for that, right?
Yeah. I thought we were going to get it in season one. And the fact that we didn't, I do think we'll get it here.
And they've been so on point with, like, talking about that with him in these last few episodes that I feel like that has to be, like, a thing that they tie out.
Yeah.
In these last couple episodes.
Man, there's just so much good stuff in this episode. Like, I loved the conversation between Dox, who's the older woman from Game of Thrones, and B15, who's like, your words changed me. Mm-hmm. Like, you should go out there and talk to other people because, like, you could do this. Like, and I do love that too, of like the finding out the truth, you know, of all of them having to reckon with, like, they thought they were the good guys, but they're the bad guys. But are they, like,
what even is good and bad?
Even Sylvie just being like, we're playing God. Like no matter what we do, we're playing God. And it's like, that's just where they're at. It's so interesting. I will say, and I've been saying this, Sylvie's my biggest letdown of this season so far.
She has such, like, a side role in all of this. And I haven't loved her stuff.
I just wish that we had more. I really actually love what we get from her. Like, the concept of her, all she wanted to do was work at a McDonald's. Like, she just wanted a life, an agency that is her own, and being able to make relationships and not be running and hunted and all this stuff. And, like, I think that's great. And, like, they're doing a good job playing that out across all the characters. Mm-hmm. I just wish Sylvie had more to do and more cool things, because Sylvie's dope as shit. Although, I loved this episode of her taking over Rafa's character and Rafa acting like her with, like, the way he moved. That was so cool.
That was really fun to watch. And just like the little glimmer of the green eye. Another kind of, like, weird technical question, the paradox-y kind of thing of OB and Timely using each, like, basing their works off of each other. Interesting.
Super interesting. So, like, OB, short for Ouroboros, Ouroboros, snake eating a snake.
Yeah.
Like,
all tying into
each other. I love they're doing this. It is very interesting how much, like, cool, OB wrote the book. The book was then given to Victor. Yeah. Like, there's so much shit that they're playing with that, like, I feel can go one of two ways. One is they've done what they've done. They've purposely made this complex and convoluted, and they explained it in the way that, like, yeah, it all just, it's a paradox. It defeats itself, and that's going to be their answer. Or there's going to be some reveals coming that we don't know about yet.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like so many signs are pointing to Obi being bad. Like, but now, after this episode, I'm starting to feel like that might not be the case.
I would be really sad if that were the case, because I just like him so much. I feel like he does have the most, like, power, in the sense that, like, no one else other than Victor really knows, has, like, the understanding of everything that he does. So I guess if he were to be some sort of villain, it would make sense that he would want to play it and take Victor out.
Yeah.
He's going to be exposed on that level. So that could have, because Victor does ask him, like, is this safe? Is this going to work? And he's like, theoretically, like, he could have played it off.
Yeah.
In a way to take him out. So.
Yeah, man. I just feel like the show's done a great job of setting up mysteries that they answer in satisfying ways enough that, and then they answer or ask new questions that I'm like, hey, I'm just kind of here for it. And, like, even when I don't understand something, I'm like, eh, it's okay. Like, let's just keep moving forward. Cause I feel like they get to such banger lines so often.
Yeah.
Like the conversation where he's just like, it's easy to raise things to the ground, but to fix something is so hard. And it's just like, God damn, that's great. Like, that's so good. And this, like, again, I've said this 10 million times now, but this is the bad guy from Avengers 1. Like, this Loki has been through so much in such a short period of time now that he has so much responsibility. Like, he is dealing with, like, such wild stuff that, like, is this moment at the end of this episode, is this the And because of how time works, the flat circle shit, it gets weird. But is this the incursion point? Like, is this the moment now that all the different universes are starting to, like, affect each other? And Charlize Theron at the end of Multiverse of Madness, like, we before have been trying to retrofit the Sylvie killing He Who Remains in that moment where the timelines first started, like, breaking around, you know? As, oh, is that the same moment that Wanda heard something in WandaVision?
Yeah,
that,
totally.
That Peter and Doctor Strange did the spell in No Way Home and all that stuff. Like, it's doubtful at this point. And so much of that contradicts that it just, we wanted it to work and we thought that would make sense.
And just be cool.
But could this be that moment? I think this could make a lot more sense. There's now, like, all of these things are out there. These universes are all going and they might crash into each other. And that's when the incursions happen. Like, so that could lead to, obviously, Kang Dynasty, Secret Wars, Deadpool 3, all of that. But all that's obvious. It's happening.
Yeah.
How and when, we'll see. But my big question is, how involved is Loki?
Interesting. Just in general and, like, the rest of the MCU moving forward?
Yeah.
Because, yeah, he is... It is... it would be such a shame to lose Tom Hiddleston, and this gives them, like, kind of the right way to bring him back in as another different Loki, not the same Loki, back into the MCU. I guess it kind of boils down to, like, kind of one of my issues with all of these things in general is, like, how much is any of this that's happening going to have on, like, the larger MCU, which is the issue.
And I unfortunately think we're still not at the point that everyone gets it and they know and they're all working toward.
Yeah.
I mean, add the strikes, add the Jonathan Majors drama, add XYZ different fucking things that could happen. Like, it's going to be real tough for things to start making sense. And now with the strikes resulting in rules that show Bibles need to exist.
Yeah.
They need to have a group of showrunners, more people working together to make sure that there's consistency. Like, I'm hoping that's going to be a great thing overall. And I'm hoping that we'll start moving towards a future that these things are impacting each other the way that we all hoped that they would originally.
Yeah.
And again, pandemics, there's been so many things at play.
This issue exists for the MCU even outside of Disney Plus shows. Because you think about, like, if you've just watched only the Guardians, like, you only care about Guardians. That's all you care about. You're like, who is this Gamora? Like, what happened to Gamora? Like, all of these things. I think it is just a franchise issue when you have this many properties interacting with each other. And
that's been true with comics, right? Yeah. Like, the movies and shows are just dealing with what comics have always dealt with, which is jump on points, being accessible to new readers, but then also rewarding long-term fans and, you know, what retcons are worth it, I think is really kind of the question that always needs to be asked. And I feel like the TVA is, like, a really fun way to deal with that. And, like, them coming up with this cast of characters, some from the comics, some not, some takes on it. Like, Sylvie is like multiple comic characters melded together.
Like, oh, I like that.
Which is cool. And, like, they're making some smart calls. But I personally, I'm just saying this now, I don't know that it's going to happen. I don't even necessarily think that it will. But I'm hoping that this really starts setting the stones towards moving to those bigger projects. And I hope that when we get there, at the end of the day, I would love to see Tom Hiddleston's Loki, this iteration that we have here, that is the guy we knew from Thor 1, Thor 2, going into, that's not right. Thor 1 and Avengers. And now all of Loki season 1, Loki season 2, whatever goes beyond that. I feel like they could, if done correctly, they could build this version of Loki, probably not alone, there'll be other characters with him, could be the I am Iron Man sacrifice moment that we had in Endgame for a Secret Wars or something like that.
Oh.
Like, I can imagine, I mean, just on some pure fucking fan bullshit, I'm just like, what is this? Tobey Maguire and Hugh Jackman's Wolverine. Like, I can see this, like, you know, group of, like, this, how do we make people feel?
Yeah.
I think that at this point, if they play this right, it will never be as impactful as Robert Downey Jr.'s Tony Stark fucking saying, I am Iron Man to save the universe. Like, that is what it is. But I'd love to see them turn this Tom Hiddleston character, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Into something that means that much to the MCU.
Yeah.
Because the main villain from Avengers 1, like, that just feels so special. And I feel like he's so good. We love him. But I feel like they couldn't use this character to be so much more than he is currently.
Yeah. And I think you obviously need to have a character that's been established to have that kind of emotional resonance and impact and stuff like that. So we think about the fact that a lot of the OG players are out of the game now. Chris Evans, Robert Downey Jr., Scarlett Johansson, all of that. We do still have Chris Hemsworth, and like, I think playing on the brother aspect of all of this and trying to figure out what their relationships are. And yeah.
Thor being talked about in this episode.
Oh, did I miss that?
Oh, I mean, there was a whole, like, he literally gives a whole speech about his brother and like, like his relationship with his brother and how much Thor means to him.
That might have been the time when somebody came in to deliver something into the office and just walked in, and we were all like very taken aback.
Very weird.
But yeah, I feel like you need somebody with those history lines through the MCU, and we're getting a lot of like cool new up and coming characters. Even like Captain Marvel hasn't been around that long. We're getting the Marvels obviously coming up with Miss Marvel. She had her own show, like all of these different things. But I think that's one of the longest standing relationships I think we still have in the MCU.
Yeah. And look, man, again, we've had tired conversations going in circles about the MCU and fatigue and all this stuff. But I truly believe that there's going to come a point that we haven't had yet that is the crossover, where we start to see these new characters interact with each other, because that, I feel, is what we're missing.
Yeah.
It's not just the comprehension of all the stories adding up and building to something. It is the fact that we haven't had the Avengers moment of seeing Hawkeye, Hulk, Thor, Iron Man, Captain America all together, Black Widow for the first time, and then want to see them second, third, fourth. Like, you know, you add Scarlet Witch to that, add Vision, add all this, and then, you know, obviously Infinity War up the stakes of, oh my God, the Guardians and the Avengers are going to interact. We still haven't seen Shang-Chi interact with anybody. We haven't seen Miss Marvel interact with anybody.
And the moments that we have when we get Florence Pugh with Kate Bishop have been so fun, and we want more of that.
And that's the thing, is like, we've gotten little moments, and with the Marvels, we're gonna get that. Like, I'm very excited that the Marvels is gonna be one of the first title movies to come out that is directly connected to one of the shows. I feel like Doctor Strange 2 and WandaVision were the closest we got so far. But again, pandemic and so many things got in the way of that. There's the strikes and stuff, so it's not gonna be clean either. But
do you think
it's exciting?
You mean it's not going to be clean in terms of like we're just going to have to wait longer, or you think it's just going to?
I mean, I think that the Marvels is going to severely underperform. I think there's a lot of reasons why, but I think one of the big ones is they're not able to promote the movie.
Yeah.
And it, I feel like with the MCU overall, with everything we've heard about how they're trying to rethink a lot of their TV projects, like the status of things like Echo, I think, being a little more up in the air now, like other
projects. Which is crazy because it's done, right?
Yeah. with Wonder Man, Daredevil, we know, being kind of like going back to the
totally
board
retooled,
a bit.
Yeah.
With all that, I can see them trying to like take this pause. I mean, Deadpool 3. Okay, sorry, I'm saying a lot here. What I can kind of imagine happening is them using the Marvels as, hey, Disney needs a big movie. Like, they just kind of need one. I think it might be the end of the MCU for a bit.
Ooh,
like,
which I'm not necessarily mad about.
Yeah, it could be okay. And I think that the return, I mean, Deadpool just got pushed. But potentially Captain America New World Order gets Brave New World.
Yeah, they definitely changed it, huh?
Gets pushed up to that May spot that Deadpool had. But I also wouldn't be surprised if it just doesn't. And the MCU then would be for the next year, X-Men 97, What If Season 2, things that I think are a little bit more, like, they're smaller. Ancillary, yeah. And then give a little bit of a break, so then you come back and, like, you know, obviously Deadpool 3, I think, is going to be a major hit for a ton of reasons, but it's Deadpool. People love Deadpool. Those movies do great.
Taylor
There's
Swift,
tone
are you
and vibe.
In Deadpool?
And then there's the cameo factor. There's the expectations, and we already know it's Hugh Jackman's Wolverine.
Yeah.
That could be an incredibly exciting, like, return to the MCU.
Yeah, so that's a pop that'll bring in fans that have not been interested in a long time. So I feel like you don't want to waste that opportunity, and you want to make sure that you have a lineup around that supports bringing that fan base back in.
Yeah. So, man, this is going to be exciting. I hope that next week we have two episodes left. I feel like if I had to predict, I think the next two episodes are going to be not a montage, but I do think we're going to see multiple forms of them going back and trying to fix this Groundhog Day style.
Oh, that
you know what
fun.
I mean?
Yeah.
Like, oh, that didn't work. Let's do this. That didn't work. Let's do this.
You think they'll do it individually or together?
I did like that this episode literally had everyone together.
Yeah, it
for
felt
the first
very
time.
Like time heisty.
Yeah, which was cool. I don't know. I think it could be maybe combinations of that, but that's kind of what I expect to happen. What I want to happen is they deal with this. They let this happen, and yes, the timeline exploded. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? Let's see what that means. Tell us what that means.
Yeah, all of it is so interesting because they've always said that the TVA exists outside of time. And I think we've determined that it doesn't. Clearly, there's time factors into it. So figuring out if it's, is it just that they're always getting brainwashed? And this is like a way to break out of all of those.
Well, no, time didn't exist in the TVA until He Humans died. Because that's how we saw in the episode one or two where they're like the graffiti. Like the and the crack in the floor.
Oh, the crack in the floor. That's right. And he's like, oh yeah, this has always existed. Dang it. Okay, never mind.
Yeah. So it's interesting. I mean, and now there was some line here where, oh yeah, magic. The fucking things that stop letting you use magic, they're done. It's like, all right, this is the problem when you make hella rules. When you need to break them, you need to come up with some stupid ass reason
yeah,
for
to
it
to do it.
But still hype though. Still.
I know. It'll be really exciting. I hope that we get more answers that older TVA person, I'm like, you've been around and you've like haven't done a whole lot, but you seem like you're here very purposefully. So I feel like you're gonna tie into more things. And then I'm interested to see what they do with Kang. Like, what version does Victor Timely come back? Do they get another version of, I don't know how this all works.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see. Is that the end of Victor Timely? I am not so convinced.
Do you think we get season 3 of Loki?
Oh, I do. I do. I do. This cast is just so great. They have so much fun. And I feel like I think brilliance of this show is it can be big, small, and it's both at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So it can have ramifications that affect the MCU forever, or they can fix the problem before the end of the season and all that stuff goes away. I mean, I think a best way to put it is like season 1, episode 1. Oh yeah, it's just a drawer full of Infinity Stones. Whatever. They don't work here. It's fine. I guess now they work there, though.
Do they still have them?
They must. I don't think that's going to come into play. But that is, I mean, Loki should probably be like,
Remember?
Let me go grab that reality stone real quick.
Just pocket a few of those just in case I need them later.
I mean, man. They're not going to do it. And
they
can't
rehash the Infinity.
However,
oh gosh,
imagine if they did. Like, dude, like they're not gonna fucking do this. They're just not. But imagine if Loki goes in and it's Loki using all the fucking stones in different ways.
Oh my god.
Like using the space stone to travel around.
And that's how they put it all back together.
Oh my god. They're not gonna. But and I don't know that they should even, but whatever. Let us know in the comments below what you thought of this freaking wild episode of Loki. God. I hope that it keeps up the quality that it has so far for the final two episodes. Let us know your theories in the comments. Until next time, I love you all. Have a marvelous day.